Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that you are the God that opens our eyes. You are the God that opens our ears. And Lord, I pray that this morning as we read your word, as we hear from heaven, that you would speak to us. And Lord, we are receptive, we're open, and ask you, Lord, to speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is a kind of a continuation. It is a continuation of the series that we started in, I guess it was June, about hearing God's voice. And it is, this was the final one, and for whatever reason, the Lord had kept that for this morning. And so maybe that's exactly why you're here this morning. I believe that God has something to say for every one of us this morning. But the most common question, the common question that I get asked and that we get asked is in counseling, and that is, what is God's will for my life? How many of you have asked that question? What is God's will for my life? All Christians should say, yes, that's me. I ask that question. You know, every day we make decisions. We make decision, you know, how many cups of coffee to drink, what to have for breakfast, what, you know, where we should go and what we should do. These are the small decisions in life, but what about the big decisions, those life-altering decisions, the decisions about, well, where should I live, how should I raise my children, what career path should I choose? You know, those big decisions, who should I marry? Those life-altering decisions, but they're not just decisions that affect us, they affect a multitude of people around us. When it comes to those decisions, we rightly so want to know God's will. As followers of Jesus, we say, yes, I want to know what is God's will for my life in this decision. And we struggle sometimes to know what is God's will for my life. We wrestle with that. And you know, as Christians, we come up with all kinds of formula and techniques of trying to determine God's will and different tests and ways that we try to discern what is God's will for our life. And we wrestle with it. But the question that I want to pose today, what if God's will is not something that's meant to be searched out? What if God's will is not something that's like a hidden gem in a field that we've got to go and look for and try and discover? What if it's never hidden in the first place? What if God's will is not to be discovered, but is meant to be lived? And I know that's going to sound confusing, but you'll see as we go on a little bit further. But that's what I want to talk about today, is I'm going to tell you how to know without a shadow of a doubt what is God's will for your life. Now, we all know as Christians, God's will for our life is to follow the Great Commission and go and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to go to the ends of the earth. And that's God's will for everybody. But what is God's will specifically for you? And it's knowable. You're going to know that today, I believe. And again, as I said, you know, we started this series about a little over a month ago, more than a month ago, and I lost a few weeks in the middle. But we started this series, and the last time I preached on hearing God's voice, I spoke about Moses and how God spoke to him through the burning bush. Remember that? And Moses was discerning, and he spoke, God spoke to him through a burning bush. And we see that the primary method that God speaks to us today is through his word, through his revealed word, the Bible. And he speaks to us through that. But God also speaks to us through other methods, and by his Holy Spirit, he speaks to us. And what we do is, though, we filter what we hear from God, that still small voice, through God's word. God's word is always our guideline, our plumb line in filtering what we believe is God speaking to us. Is it in line with the inspired word of God? God's never going to tell you to do anything that's not in line with his word, and his word is always going to bring glory to Jesus. So keep that in mind, just as a reminder. But today I'm going to look at Matthew chapter 4. And it's a well-known passage of Jesus calling his first disciples. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, and we're just going to look at a few verses there from verse 18. of Jesus calling his disciples. Starting verse 18. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And we so quickly read over that and we think, well, yeah, that's just Jesus calling his disciples. But he called them, he spoke to them, and it changed their life. It changed the course of history. Jesus simply calling them out. And Jesus was a well-known public figure at that time. He'd been teaching. He was a well-known rabbi, probably. And so, by all accounts, these early disciples, these fishermen, knew who Jesus was. And when he was walking along the seashore, they probably had a crowd and they said, oh yeah, that's Jesus coming. And Jesus points to them, calls them out, and they follow him. Jesus calls Simon and Andrew, and immediately they followed. Then he goes on to James and John, and immediately they followed. This is so key. If we walk saying, I want to know God's will for my life, I must be ready to respond. There's no point in saying, yes, God, I want to know your will, but I'm going to take my time in responding. When God calls, we need to be ready to respond. These disciples, again, they weren't disciples at that time, they were fishermen, and they responded. God called them. And it's interesting to note that out of the 12, four, and some scholars say possibly seven, were fishermen. And fishermen were busy people. They were about their work. They worked at night fishing and then during the day mending their nets. So they worked long hours. They were busy people. And notice, Jesus didn't call people who were sitting on the couch waiting for a sign. Oh, yeah, I'm just waiting for God to call me. No. Jesus called busy people. He called people who were active and they were busy. There's no secular or sacred in the call of God in your life. God may call you to be a fisherman. God may call you to be a stay-at-home mom. God may call you to be a traveling evangelist. Both are vitally important in the kingdom of God because that's the call of God on your life. Don't base the call of God on your life and what someone else is doing. What is God calling you to do? And that is crucial. Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men." So God called these, or Jesus saw these fishermen, these men who weren't afraid to work, these men that worked hard, and he called them, and without hesitation, they left their old way of life. They walked away from it and followed Jesus. Another possible explanation, I think, that Jesus called fishermen is that they were men of faith. It takes faith to be a fisherman. I know that's why, you know, if I go and fish, my faith is severely tested because I don't catch anything, and it takes a lot of faith. But these men, they didn't have the modern-day sonar equipment and so on to find out where the school of fish were. They cast their nets into the ocean, into the lake, and trusted the Lord to fill the net. They were men of faith. And just by the mere fact of what they were doing, they were men of faith. They lived by faith. They may not have termed it that way at the time, but they were living by faith. But here's the interesting thing that, and I really want you to get this, is Jesus didn't call them and say, man, I've seen you guys, and you are amazing. You have the skills that I need. Your grasp of the Hebrew and the Greek language is exactly what I need for my kingdom. I'm going to call you guys because I've looked around everywhere and you're the best. No, Jesus called them and said, I'm going to make you something that you're not. I'm going to make you fishers of men. Jesus didn't say anything about what they were doing and saying, I need the skill you have. Jesus said, I'm going to make you something that you're not. And he called them out to be something that they were never before. not because of anything that they had in themselves. The fishermen had no idea what they were being called to do, but they had faith that God, that Jesus, was calling them, and they responded immediately. If you don't hear anything else today, if you don't hear anything else I say today, I want you to get this. God's not going to call you to do something that you can do in your own strength without Him. When God calls you to a work of God, it's going to require faith. It's going to be something that you cannot do in your own strength. I don't stand here as a pastor and a preacher because I can do this in my own strength. I would be doing anything else rather, but God's called me and He has given me the abilities because it's all from Him for His glory. God's not going to call you to do something that you can say, yeah, I got this. I know how to do this. No, God wants us to rely on Him. He wants us to be dependent on Him in faith, walking it out. This is what it really means to be a Christian. This is what it really means to be a follower of Jesus. As followers of Jesus, we die to our old way of life. We die to our old way of life and we become new in Christ. Galatians 2:20 is such a crucial, crucial verse for every Christian to grasp, to lay hold of. So I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And we read this verse and we tend to focus so much on the fact that I've been crucified. We look at this verse and we so much look at that verse and we say, I have been crucified, and we think about the pain and the suffering, the things that I have to give up, the things that I have to die to. But we forget about the second part of the verse. And the life that I now live, I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Isn't that amazing? That's the part we should focus on. It's the life that I now live. I live by faith. You know, God has done everything to make a way for you to be able to be in a relationship with Him. God has done everything that is necessary for our salvation. We were just talking about that in the new members class. What is the gospel? Jesus came to bridge the gap that we could not. God sent His only Son to die for us. He paved the way so that we could have a relationship with the Father. That is what has been done for us. And then Jesus, as we just sang, He is our living hope because He overcame death. He is alive today. And He is living forevermore. And because of what Jesus has done on the cross, we can have an unhindered relationship with our Father. We can walk knowing Him. God wants us to know Him. That's the purpose. Remember, why does God speak to us? The first and foremost thing of God's reason God speaks to us is so that we can have a relationship with Him. So we can get to know Him and to grow in our relationship with Him. You know, God wants a relationship with you more than you want one with Him. It may sound strange, but we cannot love God without Him first loving us. And God wants a relationship with you more than you want one with Him. And God loves you. And His will for your life is perfect. And I know that's kind of a Christian cliche. God loves you and has a will for your life and a plan for your life. But it's perfect. And He loves you. He gives good things to His children, the Scripture says. You know, many people talk about God's will for their life as if it's something to be feared, something to be nervous about. Well, I'm kind of concerned about God's will for my life because He may send me to Africa, you know. Very ironic for me to say that. But if we truly grasped and knew how much God loves us, that His will for us is exactly what we need. It's perfect for us. God knows you better than you know yourself. And so the reality is that we overestimate our own planning ability and we underestimate God's love for us. We overestimate, I can figure this out. I know what I need to be doing for God. And we underestimate how much God loves us. And His plan for us is perfect. If we really desire, or we really grasp that God desires our good more than we could ever imagine, submitting to His will and plan for our lives is really easy. It's really easy. But it's a matter of really grasping how much God loves us. The truth is that we struggle to know God's will for our lives because we're so busy doing our own will for our lives. We struggle to know God's will for our lives because we're so consumed with our own will. We're so consumed figuring out our own lives. We haven't given our lives over to the Lordship of Jesus. We haven't given our lives fully to the Lordship of Jesus. As Christians, Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. I don't exist. But now I live in Christ. My old way of life is gone. So what if God's will for our lives is not something that's to be discovered, something to be searched out and try to figure out? What if God's will for our life is actually meant to just be walked out as we walk in the Spirit, allowing God's Holy Spirit to lead us? It's a lifestyle to be walked out. So I want to propose today, what if God's will is really walking by the Spirit, being led daily and walking out the plan that God has for us on a daily basis, listening to Him, following His leadership, and walking it out? We call this walking in the Spirit, and it's not some idealistic lifestyle that's reserved for some super Christians. This is the normal Christian life. This is what we're all called to do and to be. I was reading Romans 8:14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Did you get that? For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God and daughters of God, children of God. So if that's true, then the converse must also be true. If we're not led by the Spirit of God, we're not children of God. Let that sink in for a little bit. If you're a child of God, you should be led by the Spirit of God. So being led by the Holy Spirit is normal. It's the normal Christian life. Waking up every morning and saying, Lord, what is the plan today? Let me follow You today. Following God, listening to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. That's what we sign up for as Christians. That's what we sign up for as followers of Jesus. That's normal. It's being led by the Spirit. So the real question is, how can I know God's will for my life? The real question is, how can I walk in the Spirit? How can I be led by the Spirit? That's the real question we should be asking. Every morning, follow God's leadership. Submitting ourselves to Him, dying to ourselves. So what does that look like on a daily basis? What does that look like on a daily basis? Well, if you're not spending time with God, you're not asking from heaven for direction and leadership, you're not going to be walking in the Spirit because you're not going to hear from God. You're not going to know what His plans are for you. So it's daily, beginning by spending time alone with God, beginning by asking God for directions, spending time in His Word, meditating on God's Word, praying, submitting yourself to His perfect plan for your life, allowing God's Word to soak deeply into your heart so that when those situations arise and those challenges arise during the day that come up, immediately God's Word flows out of you and you know what you need to do. You know, as we develop in our relationship with God, we develop. Remember that, again, the primary reason God speaks to us is to develop a relationship with us. But we grow in that relationship. We grow in that lifestyle of faith, knowing God's voice, being led by Him. We develop that lifestyle of listening. And we figure out that, you know, God's will is not so much a road map to be figured out, but it's just a daily walk. Being led by Him. It's not confusing. It's not a mystical thing we have to figure out that you can kind of wander off and go a little bit off track and get back into. No, it's just daily walking with the Lord. Oswald Chambers, in his devotional classic, My Utmost for His Highest, he wrote, Genesis 18, this is God speaking to Abraham, brings out the delight of true friendship with God as compared with simply feeling His presence occasionally in prayer. This friendship means being so intimately in touch with God that you never even have need to ask Him to show you His will. It is evidence of a level of intimacy which confirms that you are nearing the final stage of your discipline in the life of faith, that you have a right standing relationship with God, you have a life of freedom, liberty, and delight. You are God's will. And all of your common sense decisions are actually His will for you, unless, this is the key, you sense a feeling of restraint brought on by a check in your spirit. You are free to make decisions in the light of a perfect and delightful friendship with God, knowing that if your decisions are wrong, He'll lovingly produce that sense of restraint. And once He does, you must stop immediately. Does that make sense? The only thing I challenge Oswald Chambers where he says, you know, you're confirming that you're nearing the final stage of your discipline in the life of faith. I'm not so sure about that. I don't think we can ever come to the final stages in our lifestyle of growing nearer to Christ. But that's really what we're talking about. It's just daily walking it out, trusting God. So the goal, again, is not to find out the answer to the question, what is God's will for my life? It's rather, how do I walk by the Spirit moment by moment, day by day? So I don't want this to be just a theoretical lesson so that you go home saying, well, what did that all mean? I just got challenged to walk in the Spirit, but I don't know what that looks like. And I can only give you my personal experience, and Debbie and I have, over the years, made many large decisions that have affected many, many people around us. And many times we've been accused of being crazy, and we've been criticized, and we've been slandered as we've kind of made these really momentous decisions. But I don't ever remember a time where we agonized over a decision and wrestled over a decision. And I'm not saying, that's why I wrestle with Oswald Chambers, because I'm not there, but I just trusted the Lord every step of the way. So one example, when God called us to move from Georgia to Hawaii and to give up, Debbie had to give up her career in nursing and to move literally around the world, and it was, yes, this feels right. This is what we need to do. And the idea was, well, it's going to be an 18-month transition, and we're going to come back to Georgia and kind of continue where we left off. And I remember we stored everything in the basement. We rented out the house, and we had an unfinished basement. So we put all our furniture in the basement, and I kind of cordoned off a large room in the basement, put black plastic all around it. That was our furniture that we were simply going to move back into the house when we came back in 18 months. And then we got into our Toyota minivan and pushed the button to close the garage door and really felt the Holy Spirit saying, you're never coming back. And immediately I thought, what? That's not what I signed up for. That's not what I expected. We're coming back. And I knew Debbie felt the same way. We knew we were never coming back to live in this house again. And it was a beautiful house. We'd only built it 4 or 5 years before that. And it was beautiful. And we thought, no. But the Lord says, you're not coming back. And so we went, and pretty soon we realized God had a different plan for us. And then we were told, well, you're going to go back to South Africa for a season. And God said, no, I have another plan for you. And every step of the way, it was a matter of just following the Lord. I don't remember us agonizing over a decision. And then God called us to Kansas City. And I remember the first time we were driving down 71, we just got off the plane and really felt, this is home. This is where I'm calling you to be. And that's just being led by the Spirit. We don't hear perfectly, as I'll explain later, but we were just being led by the Spirit, so much so that within the first few days, we started looking for houses. Well, we're going to live here. Let's start looking at houses, what they look like here, how much they cost. And the Lord was leading us the whole way. God has led us from South Africa to Atlanta to Kona to Kansas City and many other different decisions along the way. But each step of the way, we didn't have the language of Romans 8:14. But we understand that now. It's just being led by the Spirit because we're children of God. And He is calling us. So does this mean that we're always perfectly in hearing from the Lord? Does this mean we never make mistakes? No, absolutely not. There's times when the Lord says no and stops us, and we're ready to receive that and go in the other direction. So your question may be, well, what if I don't hear correctly from God? What if I honestly believe I'm being led by the Spirit, but what if I make a mistake? Now, that's a common fear. So I've got two quick responses to that. The first one is, God is all-knowing. God knows exactly where you're going to be in 10 years from now. God knows everything. God doesn't have a plan A and a plan B and a plan C for your life, so that if you mistake this one, He's going to quickly divert to plan B. No, God knows where you're going to be, and He knows what He has in store for you. You cannot make a mistake if you're genuinely asking God for His will and you're genuinely asking the Holy Spirit to lead you daily, waking up and say, what do you have for me today? You will not make a mistake because God is faithful and He loves you. Walking in fellowship with Him, He will lead you. But then again, if we truly understand, this is the second response, Galatians 2:20, if we truly understand that and grasp that, that I have been crucified with Christ, it is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. If we truly get that, we realize that it's not my life anymore. It's not me living anymore. So when I'm faced with those big decisions, with that change in direction in the road and that decision to make, I simply submit it to the Lord and say, Jesus, this is your life. Which path would you have it go down? I'm not alive, it's Jesus. He's living through me. So, Lord, if you don't want your life to go down this path, please stop me. And then we submit it to the Lord, and He genuinely, gently leads us and directs us. There's always times when God stops us, and we know immediately, we repent, and we go in the other direction. God gives us the desires of our heart because as we're being led by the Spirit, He puts those desires in our heart as we follow Him. You know, the only time we really struggle to follow God's will is when we're still trying to do our own will. Because we're not dead. We're still trying to live our own life. It all boils down to trusting God's love for us. Do we really trust Him that He is a good Father? That His ways are perfect, that His love for you and for me is perfect. Do we really trust Him? And then when we're following God's will, it leads to a life of just incredible blessing and adventure and unusual experiences. People, I would never have got to meet any of you had I not just been following along what the Lord had for me. And that's a blessing. You're all a blessing to me. But you know, God's word is just full of so many promises of being led by the Spirit. So many promises of allowing God to lead us. I'm just going to read a few. Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Proverbs 3, verse 6. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Isaiah 58:11, and the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. John 8:12, and Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Is Jesus the light to your path? You know, the Bible is so full of these gems of being obedient and following God's will. We just got to dig in. If we read God's word, we'll see it's full of promises of being led by the Spirit and following Him, walking in His perfect plan for our lives. This is walking in the Spirit. This is what it means to be walking in the Spirit, being led by God. We can only follow God if we know His voice. We can only follow God if we know His voice. And that's what this series is about, and it starts by beginning with that relationship with God, submitting ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and then practicing hearing God's voice. And as you begin to practice that and regularly listen from God, you get used to hearing His voice and being led by Him. It becomes a lifestyle of following God. It's an adventure. You'll be driving down the road and the Lord will say, help that person. Go to that store. Just little things like that. But you change your life and other people around you as you're obedient to God. And when God speaks to you, when He gives you that instruction, write it down. When you're in your prayer time, have a journal with you. I'm so glad that we bought those 50 journals, and I think they were all taken. And I wasn't here that Sunday. The Lord had another plan for me. But the one condition for taking those journals is that you use them. And so, that was the idea, is to put some journals. If you'd like a journal, are we going to buy some more and just have them available? Because I believe in just writing down your prayers, writing down what God says to you. You know, people struggle to pray and focus in prayer. I do. You know, we have this 24-hour prayer, and people say, well, I don't know how I can pray for more than 10 minutes. Just my mind wanders. I said, yes, I write down my prayers. I begin a dialogue with God in my journal. And time flies as you get to spend time with God. So write it down. Test it. Test it against Scripture. See if what God is telling you to do lines up with His perfect Word of God. And if it brings glory to Jesus and lines up with His Word, be obedient and do what God's calling you to do. God will never contradict His Scripture. God will never contradict His character and His nature that is revealed in His Word. So the final and most crucial aspect of all of this is obedience. The disciples, when Jesus called them, I think they stopped mid-stitch in their mending of their nets. They just dropped it and walked. I can imagine Zebedee, guys, where are you going? We've got work to do. And they left immediately. There's going to be times, and there's been times in my life when I've had to say no to someone else's will for my life, to say yes to God's will for my life. And that's something that's difficult. When someone else has a plan or an expectation on your life and a desire for your life, and you say, but God is calling me here, that's going to be a challenge. But there's only one voice you need to be listening to. It's the one that knows you the best. The one that's planned for you is perfect. So obey God. John 14:23, Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. Do we love Jesus? Let's be obedient. Let's be led by the Spirit. Don't you want to know what it's like to completely trust God for your future? Completely abandon yourself to His perfect will for your life. Oswald Chambers talks about that a lot in My Utmost for His Highest. He constantly goes back to the abandonment of living as a Christian. And that's really what it is. It's Galatians 2:20, dying to our old way of life, dying to ourselves, being crucified with Christ. You may have been a Christian for many years. You may not even know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But deep down, we all know that we want to know God's will for our lives. Because we realize that we can't make decisions perfectly. We don't know the future. God does. So what is God calling you to do? And if you completely live a life trusting God, it'll be a life of fruitfulness. It'll be a life like that tree by a fresh water that's always producing fruit. That is the lifestyle that God has called you and I to. The abundant life of following Jesus. So I invite you today, we're going to close by sharing together in the Lord's Supper and celebrating what Jesus has done for us. We're going to share communion together, and then after that, I'm going to again invite you to come forward if you'd like to respond to what God is doing and saying in your heart this morning. We're going to have ministry teams, but you know, as we close the communion service and the celebration, Anne is going to be playing for us, but I just invite you to come and just submit to the Lord. You may come and kneel before Him. You may need someone to pray for you, but I invite you to take advantage of that. If God is speaking to you today, don't leave this place without responding to God. So before we do it, let's stand together, and I'm going to close in prayer, and then we're going to transition. Let us pray together. Lord, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, that Your plans are perfect. We thank You, Lord, for the invitation to follow You. Thank You, Lord, for the invitation to follow You. Thank You, Lord, for Your Word that speaks to us, Your Word that reveals truth to us, Your Word that speaks to our very core, because You know us so well. And Lord, we want to respond. We want to say yes to Your will for our lives. We want to give You our yes, Lord. Our weak yes sometimes. But Lord, we pray that everyone here, my prayer is, Lord, that You'd speak to us and that we would begin to know Romans 8:14 lifestyle of being led by the Spirit, Lord. Whatever decisions need to be made today, whatever decisions need to be made this coming week, Lord, they're not a mystery because You have the plan. Grow us in our relationship with You, I pray. And we pray this in that precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, I've just been talking about being really all in. That's what we're talking about. It's not just a Christianity is not a spectator. I wouldn't say a spectator sport. It's not for spectators. Christianity is about being all in. And when Jesus sacrificed His body for us, He was all in. He didn't hold anything back. And you know, it's often a good reminder to say, you know, when Jesus was on the cross, He really did know your name. Because He was God. He is God. And He really was thinking about you when He suffered and died on the cross. As we come to this table, we see the evidence of the gospel. We see the evidence of the good news of how God took on flesh and He paid the price for our salvation. He held nothing back. And so as we prepare our hearts to receive these elements, let's just commit ourselves afresh to the Lordship of Jesus Christ over our lives. And as we're going to spend a few moments just in silence, I pray that you would just ask God to forgive you of any sins that He brings to mind, allowing the blood of Jesus to cleanse us of all sin. But just if that, maybe God is saying to you, you haven't been all in, I challenge you today, before you even partake of the elements, say, I'm all in. I'm all in to what You're calling me to do and to be, because His will is perfect. So let's pray, just pray silently together, and then Bob's going to lead us in a prayer of thanksgiving for the elements.